Good morning. Wow, if you could see these faces up here, you would wish you were up here talking too, let me tell you. I have a question for you guys. What is so special about this weekend? Has anybody heard what this weekend's called? Labor Day. Does that sound like a lot of work? Do you know what Labor Day's all about? Because we're off. Things are closed on Monday. Businesses are closed. Big manufacturing places are closed. Do you know what Labor Day is for? No school. Oh, no school. Oh, forgot that one. No school. Huh? Labor Day is something that happened. It was made a law. It's the first Monday in September every year. It was a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated... Now get this, this is big words here. Labor Day is dedicated to the social and economic, you know what economic is? Money. Uh-oh, somebody's not happy with our story already. Sorry. Somebody was having a lot of labor hanging on to that little guy. That was the problem. Okay, Labor Day was a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. Not anybody else. It's an American thing. It constitutes a yearly... Okay, so how many days do you get off in a year? One. Okay, it was a yearly national tribute to the contribution that workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. Did you know that? Did anybody know that? I had to look it up because I was not aware. I knew it had to do with the labor movement, but I wasn't aware of what it meant. Okay, what happened was people in different places began and they started in the cities to make ordinances or rules to recognize a day. And then several states made it a law. And then in 1884, Congress passed an act that made the first Monday in September a legal holiday. This means that laborers and workers would have time off for time with their families and friends and could celebrate what their hard work had done for America, for our country. Is once a year a long time to wait for a day off? A whole year if that's the only day you got off? That's a long time to wait. Well, let me tell you, I got a better story for you than that. We just have an extra day off this week. I can think of someone who labored very hard. For 6 days, he labored very hard. And he made a beautiful home. He made a beautiful place with everything that you could ever need in it. What do you think about that? That's pretty cool, right? Okay, he fashioned it, and he made it, and he put everything in it. And this is what it says. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God did what to the seventh day? God blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it. He made it a holy day because in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. And do you know what he asked his children to do? On the first day that after they were created on the sixth day, and he showed his children all around this beautiful place that he had made for them. And he spent time with them on the seventh day. Who did that work? Who is that? Who are we talking about? God did that. God is the one who made the lovely home with everything in it that we need. And do you know that without this lovely home that God made, there is nothing that could be made. Everything that God made then is what we've used to fashion the bricks for buildings, to fashion the fabric for the clothes you wear. The wire that brings the electricity to our church so I can see you and you can hear me and they can hear me back there. They might be able to hear me anyways, but they can hear me better this way. All the American workers, everything that American workers have ever been able to build or make came from something that God made at the very beginning. And God knew that. He was taking care of us 6,000 years later. He had everything we would need to build whatever we were going to build here. He did that way back then to make sure we would have what we needed. God was looking far into the future, and he put everything here we would need. We can stop our labor how many times a year? 52 times a year. We have 52 Sabbaths in a year, and every so many years we get 53. God knew that we would need to rest more than one day a year. And so he gave us one day a week. We can stop our labor with every week and spend time with him on Sabbath. This week, though, we have a whole extra day that you don't have to go to school. I don't have to go to work. That's a yay! Let's thank God for that extra day we got and for those workers that have worked so hard to make our country, to have the nice things that we have, the homes that we live in, to build all those things that made all the things that we need, okay? So let's fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of Labor Day this year and for learning that it's a special day that workers can be recognized for the things that they have done to contribute to our country. Lord, we thank you for them and pray that you would bless them. And Lord, we thank you especially for the work that you did that first week and gave us a beautiful home with everything we would ever need that we could build and learn and grow here. I pray that you'd be with the young people today and bless them throughout this service and throughout the day as we have a special outreach this afternoon. Lord, we thank you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, thank you. You can go back to your seat. Now it's time for a morning prayer. I didn't realize I was going to have everything at the same time today. But you're welcome to join us here for our prayer time.
I cast all my cares upon you. I will cast all my cares upon you.
All together. Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for giving us more than one a year because you knew we'd need it. You knew we'd need that time with you each week. Lord, today I have in my hand cards that have written requests on them for prayers, praises, and requests. Lord, we ask that you would minister to each one of these. And Lord, I know there are many that didn't write them down. And we ask that you would minister to the needs on their hearts. Lord, today I'm reminded with Labor Day, school has begun. I pray that you would be with our children that are in school. Our young people from preschool to kindergarten and all the way up through high school and college. Lord, we have those who are in college for the first time and those who are working on advanced degrees. We pray that as they give their hearts to you each day and they keep you first in their lives, that you would bless them in the things that they're learning and prepare them for what you would have them to prepare for on this earth. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for our teachers. We thank you for our school here and pray that you would bless Three Angels Church School and all the children that are there. Please be with Mrs. Marching and her helpers this year. Lord, we thank you for the workers that are here that have worked in manufacturing. I know there are many who have helped in building the big planes that move us from here and there. We thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that as we celebrate Labor Day, that we would be reminded to be thankful for the things that you have given to us that we have learned how to make. And we just thank you for that and help us to be thankful for those things this weekend. Lord, we ask now that as we enter into the service, that you would be with Omari as he speaks to us today, that you would bless his words, that you would fill him with your spirit. And we ask also for our own personal filling of your Holy Spirit, that our ears might hear the message you have to deliver deep in our heart, that you would bring the things into our lives that need to be there, and that you would help us to let go of the things that need to not be there anymore. Lord, we thank you for each one here today. And Lord, I pray a special blessing for the young lady I met this week, that you would bring her here soon. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. So, here we are at Labor Day weekend, which is dedicated to affirm our nation's laborers and workers, and considered to be the unofficial end of the summer season. And Ellen White affirmed the importance of honest labor, and she wrote that Jesus came to this earth to accomplish the greatest mission and the greatest work that no one has ever done. And he came as God's ambassador to show us how to live and how to fully depend and rely on God. And the kind of family and the conditions that God chose for him was a secluded home in the Galilean hills, a household sustained by honest and self-respecting labor, a life of simplicity, and daily conflict with difficulty and hardships, self-sacrifice, economy, and patience. And still he had the hour of study at his mother's side, where he got a chance to open scrolls of scripture and get to learn more about his father. And he also learned a lot from nature, where he had the soul's communion with God. These were the conditions and opportunities of the early life of Jesus. So that's an ideal situation and a good example for us, because we can imagine Jesus Christ daily going to his father's carpenter's shop and carefully crafting the objects of wood, doing that with all his might. It's an example for us. And as we honor the labors of our land, whether manual or mental labor, we are asked to honor God's work by our faithfulness in tithes and offering. So the loose offerings today will go for the local church budget, and may the deacons come forward for the offering and tithes. Thank you. Mighty ever-living God, we come to you this moment with uttermost humility of our hearts, thanking you for the gift of life and for the blessings you've bestowed unto us this holy Sabbath. As we have brought forth our offerings and tithe, we thank you for the opportunity that you've blessed us to work and acquire that with the tithes and offering. We thank you for you've been faithful to us, and we pray that you might meet us in our financial needs, and we ask that you might multiply and bless every activity that the tithes and offering will be used to push your work forward. And we ask that you might bless us and forgive us our sins, for it's in your holy name that we believe and pray. Amen.
Habits of life, formless. Happy Sabbath. Today I'm going to be reading Jeremiah 18, 5 through 6. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.
About that. God is good and all the time. I don't need to pace up and down. I will stand right here and we are going to have a good time. All right? It is not easy standing up front here, not only for me. I just got informed this morning that we are making an error whereby the people who are preaching are presenting the scripture readings too late. Whereby the scripture reading wasn't afforded to the people involved of the service up until yesterday morning. So it doesn't give the young people a chance to practice. But they do real good. They do real good. Praise God. Let us all stand up. Let us all stand up and shake hands. Shake hands just real quick. Go around shaking hands. And God is blessing. Did you all catch that? I made you do all that, that way I could take off the mic. God is blessing. God is blessing us every single minute, every single moment, especially on Sabbath. We are told by the servant of the Lord that he draws especially near to his people on the Sabbath day. How many people are keeping the Sabbath for the very first time? Please say amen. I can't hear you. Okay, that's good. Because we are about to learn some things, and then there's some things that we mentioned up front for people who are new, and I'm glad there's nobody who's new in keeping the Sabbath. So I don't expect any letters later on asking me questions about what I said and what I did not say. There's no any other place that I'd be. There's no any other place that I'd be apart from heaven rather than be here right now with this moment. Praise God. Why do I say this? Like I said before, the Lord draws near to us. So you should come here knowing that you are in the presence of our Lord, a holy God. And you should live here not the same but changed. So you should also live here expecting a blessing. There's that touch of faith. I remember when Jesus was walking around and then there's a lady that touched him. He asked, "Who just touched me?" His disciples were quick and very quick to ask, "There's so many people who have touched you. What do you mean?" But the key thing is there's a touch of faith. So we should all expect to get a blessing and we will live here blessed. There's so many different people who come to a church. There's people who come to a church because they love their spouses. That's why they're here. There's people who are here because their parents made them to come here and they're just enduring. There's people here who are coming here as that one woman with faith. And expecting a blessing. And then there's the rest of us who think we know that what we are doing, you know? So, Lord have mercy. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Chapter 18, 5 and 6. I do have a computer. I remember every single time I say that, and then you think it's a joke, but I do have one. But we are Seventh-day Adventists. More and more people come. Brian Byrow preached about a cell phone. I don't have mine on here. But he preached about a cell phone. I think it was 4 weeks ago. And Pastor has been preaching this past 3 weeks. And we've been told so many things that I still have bandages on my toes, you know. There's things that we get told that we are not comfortable with. But truth, it cuts both ways. It cuts both the preacher and it cuts the people who listen to it. So at times it is good. It is good to be told things that we need to hear. We are being told these things. I want you just to think about the past several Sabbaths that we have been having and the messages, especially the past three messages, the series that Pastor Draggett has.
It is not because there's certain people here who are lifting themselves up and they know how to live. Or it is not because that they put themselves differently. Rather, there is a call for God's people, for God's remnant church to raise its standard. There's a reason why we are being told these things. But at the same time, we serve a living God. We serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who is merciful and tender and loving. For this, it all says grace. So I've been thinking about the messages that we've had the past month. It was really easy for me to come and stand in front of you and tell you something about what I see wrong with our church. It might be too hard, you know. This and this person is not nice to me, you know. Somebody is dressing in a way that is inappropriate. These things come with time. But because of that, I got convicted about grace. This message I'm going to share with you is about grace. I thank God for this word. It's full of grace. Wherever you turn, there is grace. Chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the porter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the porter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the porter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the porter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this porter, says the Lord? Look at this clay is in the porter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and loving Father, it has now come time to hear your words. We ask for mercy for our sins, Father, because this is the only thing that is causing separation between us and you. Send your spirit, Father. Fill me with your spirit, Father, that way I might only say and only say that thus says the Lord, not me, not what I speak, but let them hear what you have planned for us today. Send your spirit, Father, to be with each and every person here, Father, that way they might not live here the same, but rather changed and transformed, Father. Be with me and be with each and every person in this church. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. How many people have their Bibles? Say amen.
Amen.
How many people don't have their Bibles? Say, Lord, have mercy. Okay. That is a saying that Sebastian Braxton keeps saying whenever he preaches. And talking about Sebastian Braxton, we are going to have a Bible Army Camp in November, getting into from a Wednesday in November, the last Wednesday of November, going into December 2nd, I think. And you have one of the privileges to come and hear him. My message today was inspired by two preachers, Sebastian and C.D. Brooks. He's my all-time favorite. If you haven't listened to him, you're missing out. But I like power-packed preachers. Don't tell Pastor Birger this, but I've grown to love his messages because he's soft. He's powerful in a real soft way, whereby he speaks. And then just this Wednesday, we had a prayer meeting, and I'm driving somebody to that prayer meeting in a house. And then he's telling me how Pastor is filled with the Spirit of God. So we got to keep praying for him. He's at Newton. Our first elder, Elder Brian, was supposed to be speaking today, but he had to go visit his family. So that's why I'm in front of you today. From what I just read, we are going to go look at it just a little bit deeper and see what God has prepared for us. Just keep in mind, everything that I'm going to say is all about grace. Amazing grace. Chapter 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, God has so many different ways whereby he can speak to us. And then this being a prophet of God, Jeremiah, God would have showed him a vision. It was easy for him to see a vision and be spoken and given a message like that. God would have talked to him using any other means. But this is how he chose for him to deliver this message or to get the message that he had prepared him. Just in the same way as you guys are, God can reach us in so many different ways and speak to us in so many different mediums. Arise and go down to the porter's house. The is a definite article. What I mean by a definite article, it means that everybody already knows what is about to come next. So go to the porter's house. That means there was only one porter in that place. He could have been told easily, go to a porter's house. There I will cause you to hear my message, right? But no, he told him, go to the porter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my voice. Like I said, God is using different mediums to talk to us. Are we paying attention or are we tuned in to listen to God speaking to us? Verse 3 goes on to say, then I went down to the porter's house, and there he was making something at a wheel. So I want you to envision and put yourself in this writer's thought process. He's making his way there, and as he is walking there making his way, he sees that the porter is making something. The porter is creating a vessel in his hand. He can't really make out what exactly this man is making. But he knows he's making something. Perhaps there was a window, but he's making something. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the porter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the porter to make. A word that stands out there is marred. Can you give me another word or another example that means the same as marred? Imperfect. Thank you. Another word? Damaged. Good. You guys are really, really educated, I see. So thank you. But marred. So as this man is walking towards the porter's house, he sees him making something. And as he's molding it, I don't know if you have seen somebody try to mold something into a vessel made out of clay. It takes different forms. And it goes different ways and different ways. But this one vessel was marred. Another word that speaks to me again in this same verse is he made it again because he was marred. Into another vessel as it seemed good to the porter to make. As I was looking for a topic or the heading for this sermon, there's a lot of people in between us that are always curious about a sermon topic. You know, that's the way that they just like to worship. I almost thought about fine china. So that was going to be my topic. So I told my wife, fine china. Because china is made of, this is like when you walk into somebody who's wealthy and then you walk in, they have this set of plates right there that is really beautiful and white, you know. So I thought about this passage and then I thought about it, but my wife, she always has an opinion. And her opinion always prevails in our house. I'm just coming to realize this because she told me, I don't think that's the appropriate heading. So I prayed and then it was right in front of me. It was in the text. For a potter to make something, it is critical to understand that a potter has to have soft hands. Soft and gentle hands. Because a piece of clay or just clay, when you try to mold it and then it's moving around, it tends to get just a mind of its own and forms an object in a certain way whereby it just develops. It's like it has its own mind. And then you're just trying to make a plate, you're just trying to make a cup, and then it decides to just become something different. This is what different potters have to say about clay work, what this kind of line of work they do. So it is critical for us to understand that as a potter is making this thing, he's trying his level best to come up, because he has an idea of what he expects to come out of his work. But then again, it takes his own form. So like this passage is saying, the object or the vessel was marred. So he has soft hands. And as it seemed good to him, to the potter, to make, that's what he was deciding to make. So Jeremiah is like, okay, so what's going on? You know, like, you should have just called me and told me what you needed to tell me. You didn't have to bring me here. That way I could have everything that I've seen here. I know this potter. Because there's only one potter in the city, so probably he supplied all the vessels back then. Everything that you can carry water, you can eat with, probably this, everything came from this one shop, you know? So this was probably perplexing for Jeremiah. He goes on again, and he says in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, finally. So I look at it as a parable. This might be a parable. I want you to think about how Jesus preached and then the way he gave parables, but then immediately after, he gave the meaning. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at this clay. Look at the clay is in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I want you to look around. Look around at each and every person in here. And then think about a house of a potter. There's different kinds of vessels in here. If you go to a potter's house, you will not find a finished work. You go to a potter's house, tell him what you want, and then he makes it, and then he gives you a finished product. So you don't go there expecting that you will find finished product. You go there, and then you expect him, he'll be making something, and then he'll be making, and while he's making something, there's a whole bunch of clay. God is the potter in this scripture. He sent Jeremiah to go out to the potter's house. And then he tells Jeremiah, when he's explaining the whole parable, he's explaining it to Jeremiah, and he's telling them, by the time he's explaining to him, he's like, O house of Israel. What does that mean? Christians, my people, O house of Israel. Remember, there's not even one that is not marred. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Like I said, don't feel bad. It's a message of grace, and it's going to turn, and then you're going to see what I'm trying to say. The one person who started a good work in you is going to finish it. That is a guarantee. We are all in different places in our lives. So I'm reading this passage, and I think, where else can I find it? A more elaborate or more detailed version of this story. And I'm really glad when Paula was talking about the creation this morning, when she was talking about the Labor Day story for the children's story, she mentioned about the creation. So turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Amen? So that means we are there. Amen? Okay, good. Genesis is the very first book. In my Bible, it says the first book of Moses called Genesis. And we are going to read from verses 27. And it says, so God created. I want you to think as I read, think about a potter who's creating. Think about a potter who's making a vessel, right? And then we look back at what God is doing. So God created, this potter is creating, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. The word create is an emphasis on that verse because it's said three times. Three is a real good number, I think, so good things. So he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the air, and over every little thing that moves on the earth. And verse 31, if you drop down all the way after 28, you drop all the way down to verse 31, it says, then God saw everything that he had made. This potter was making. A potter creates, not animate things, but a potter looks at a place, and then he creates. It's a creation by itself. But when you look at these verses right here, God is the potter, and he's creating. He created both male and female. Then God saw, verse 31 goes, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. This is something that is pleasing to the Lord. So initially, the whole point is God was making this perfect creation. God was making this perfect thing, which was male and female. Remember in the story that we just read in Jeremiah, the creation was marred. The God saw what he had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning came. That was the sixth day. The original plan was a perfect vessel. The original plan was for this vessel to have dominion over every little thing there is in the world. Because this vessel pleased God after he had made it. This vessel, the creation, pleased the potter. He gave it dominion. He also blessed it and gave dominion. And he said it was very good. In chapter 3, we see the fall of man. Still in the book of Genesis. There's the fall of man. But going on further, I want you to turn your eyes to chapter 6. Something happened after the fall of man. Eve went and decided to eat the fruit that was the forbidden fruit. We are told by the pen of inspiration that all the heavens, the harps that were playing in heaven, came to a complete silence. This perfect vessel did something that marred his life, that really made him imperfect or impure. All heavens, all the angels took off their crowns, and there was perfect quietness because they were amazed on how you would go contrary to what the Creator had intended. After the fall of man and going on, people had started multiplying and multiplying. And by the time we get into chapter 6, I'll be reading from verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So remember, he had created something, and then it was so pure, it was so good, that he gave dominion over every living thing. But then again, after time passed by, he looked back, and then he saw that all their thoughts were evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. We ought to be careful. Even though we are marred, we ought to be careful when we grieve God's heart. So the Lord said, not nobody else. He said, I will destroy man, and whom will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But this is the best part about God, the God that we served, the God that has perfect balance between justice and mercy. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Think about this potter. He's creating something. He's created a perfect vessel. He's created a perfect vessel whereby he has given it dominion. He has been pleased by his creation, just as the potter was creating things. He's a creator. Our God is a creator. And then he creates something, both male and female. He gets really happy. And then this creation falls. Just like the scripture in Jeremiah goes, the vessel was marred. And we have already known what the meaning of marred means. You know, most people think God as a tyrannical thing, like somebody who's always out there to get you. He's just waiting on you to fall. That's not the God that we serve. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to tell you a story. This morning I was talking to Paula. I was debating with her. I'm trying to convince her that I had a story for the children's story, but she beat me to it. She told me that she had a story about Labor Day. I was trying to argue, I have a story that's relevant to the message. She told me, no, I have a story that's relevant to this weekend. So I knew there was a way that I would just fit mine into the sermon. It's about grace as well, because the whole message is about grace. Just the way, by the way, if you look everything else before this, before chapter 8, there's not even one mention of the word grace. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, that's the first time the mention of grace has been seen in the Bible. So that's a fun fact that you can take with you. Even if you want to shut me out or tune me out, you can go through it right now. And then you'll meet me out there. The whole thing is, I'm not trying to tell you things that are made up. These are facts. These are things that is in the Bible. This is the very first occurrence of the word grace. So this is something. I'm going to tell you a story about a boy named John and his sister named Mary. John liked to sling rocks. He used to like to throw rocks. And I'm pretty sure some of you have heard this story. And when he liked to throw rocks, his mother came and found him. They were at the pond by their house. And mother told him, John, you better listen carefully. So when you're told listen carefully, that means you pay attention. Do not throw rocks, because one of these days you will hit a duck and it might die. Little John did not listen, and then he just did what every young child does. He went outside, and then he was playing. He took a rock, threw the rock, and he hit a duck, and the duck was dead. Thinking that nobody saw him, he took the duck. He tried to revive the duck, but it didn't come alive. So what did John do? He dug a hole, took the duck, put it inside, thinking that nobody saw. Right? As he's coming back home, Mary saw him. And Mary goes, "I saw what you did." John goes, "Please don't tell mommy, because I don't want, mommy told me not to do it." Children these days, you know, even children back days, those days. But what happened is, he was trying to convince his sister, "I will do anything, Mary. I will do anything if you don't tell mommy what I did." So Mary sat there, and then she thought. And then she's like, "Okay, go grab your wagon." He went and brought the wagon, and off they went. He's like, "Pull." So what he was doing was pulling his sister around. This went on for 5 days. He was so tired of pulling his sister Mary every single day. Pull, pull, pull. Enough is enough, John decided to say. "I'd rather go and face the music rather than pulling anymore." He decided to leave the wagon. Straight forward, he went all the way to mom. Tears falling down his face because he's anticipating punishment. "Mommy, I know you told me not to do it, but I threw a rock and I hit a duck and then it died." He was bawling, crying his face off. He was really crying because he was upset. And all this time while he's telling mom, his head was down. But he couldn't look up to see his mother's arms wide open, waiting to just hold him and tell him, "Why did you have to wait so long to come tell me?" Grace. Grace. Both of them were crying, but then she told him, "I have forgiven. And since you have told me, I have to tell you something. The whole time I saw you through the window throwing the rock, and then when you hit the duck, I just was waiting for you to come and tell me." Anyway, all was well. John got forgiven, and then he went outside. Immediately outside the door, guess who? Mary. The devil has a way with sin and human beings. That one thing, he makes it seem that he's holding you back, and he's holding you back. So every single day, he's playing tricks on your mind. Every single day about that one sin. Over and over and over again. "John, you better go bring that wagon," she said. I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not saying it, because it has been settled. It has been settled." The same way as human beings, all we have to do is submit ourselves and ask for forgiveness. I want you to look around. This is the potter's house. There's broken vessels in here. Broken vessels. There's unfinished vessels in here. There's work in progress vessels in here. That's me, by the way. But there is not even one. Not even one vessel that is complete. So what is the solution then? We look around at young people, seeing them doing things that we are not comfortable with because we think that we are already finished works, but we are not. Something is going on with a different ministry because that ministry leader is probably just new to the faith and you have been a seasoned Christian and then you're looking down on them. Somebody is doing something that is not to your standards. What is your expectation? Forgetting that our God looks at life differently. He looks at us from where we are at. And then he understands us from there. And then he's continued to work. Because when we read just the scripture reading that we read, it said that he made it again. Because this vessel that was marred was not to his liking. But he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Praise God. What is the solution to all this? The solution is grace. Amazing grace. How sweet that sounds. My brothers and sisters, we cannot do this by ourselves. I am glad I asked at the very beginning about how many people this was their first Sabbath, or if this is the first Sabbath they're ever keeping, because a lot of you said no, so this is not something that is going to be strange. More and more in this generation that we're living by, people are trying to discourage or discredit a servant of the Lord, the pen of inspiration, spirit of prophecy. But the good thing about it points us back to the Bible always. Always. This is what she has to say about this passage in Jeremiah. This is the book in a book called Our Higher Calling. The potter cannot mold and fashion unto honor that which has never been placed in his hands. I'm going to repeat. The potter cannot mold and fashion unto honor that which has never been placed in his hands. The Christian life is one of daily surrender, submission, and continual overcoming. Every day, fresh victories will be gained. Self must be lost. Sight of and the love of God must be cultivated continually. Thus, we grow into Christ. This is in the book, Our Higher Calling, page 335. I'm just going to read it one more time. That way we are really clear of what Sister White is saying. She writes, "The potter cannot mold, fashion unto honor that which has never been placed in his hands. The Christian life is one of daily surrender, submission, and continual overcoming. Every day, fresh victories will be gained. Self must be lost, sight of, and the love of God must be cultivated constantly. Thus, we grow into Christ." In the book of Isaiah, another prophet, Isaiah 1, in verse 18. This is a scripture a lot of you know. This is a scripture that you need to hold on, memorize it. If there's nothing else you can do, this is a truth that is there for us to hold us. This is grace at its perfection. This is why if you go back and read the book of Genesis and understand what transpired in the man who saw grace, who God saw grace for, Noah, you will understand what all these things are. And it reads, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool." How much? Free. This is a text that we need to memorize and always remember. There's a lot of us in here who are struggling with sin. There's a lot of us in here who are struggling with adultery. There's a lot of people in here struggling with alcohol problems. There's a lot of people in here who are leading other people out of the church. There's a lot of people in here who are struggling with gossip, hatred. We need to surrender our lives just as little Johnny did. We need to surrender each and every person in here and submit to God and let the potter work. Come now. Let us reason together. I'm going to make an appeal. If there's something that is holding you back, you're seated at the pews right now, and you know you're struggling with one thing. This is the thing that is blocking you from participating with church activities. This is the one thing that is blocking you. Be it alcohol, be it jealousy, be it envy. This is the one thing that's keeping you from advancing and letting the potter work and do a good work in you. Esther, come now. Let us reason together. If there's something that is troubling you, let us all put it into the potter's hands right now. Come. If you're struggling with one thing or the other, I know I am. I'm the first one right here, right now. I'm calling you forward. Come. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You're sitting at the pews thinking about it. That is the enemy trying to remind you of that one thing. We do not have time. It is arrogance to sit in the pews and think that you're going to be okay, expecting to reach home. Anything can happen. We do not have time. We are running out of time. We are running out of time, and Christ is coming. Come now. Let us reason together. Let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be in front of you. Father in heaven, these are your people struggling. But you have told us, Father, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter did? People are struggling with sin. The enemy is constantly trying to remind us how imperfect we are. But we thank you. Because through the blood of Jesus Christ and only Jesus, this is the name that all human beings on earth will be saved. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice on the cross. Father in heaven, look at your people, starting from me, Father. Finish a good work that you have started in us. We are all in different places. We do not pray enough. We do not ask to be given new hearts. Every single day. That needs to be our prayer, Lord, and we are sorry for that. Father in heaven, give us new hearts. Mold us into a fashion that is only and only going to help your work and your cause. Forgive us of our sins. I pray this, trusting and believing in Jesus Christ. Amen.